Good morning. We're reading from the writings of the Rabash, second volume, page 843. The article is called, What is the Bread of the Evil-Eyed at Work? You can ask questions on CAP TV. Again, the article is called, What is the Bread of the Evil Eye at Work? In Zohar Shmot, it says, Rabbi Chiya said, Do not fight the bread of the evil eye, because the bread or the pleasure from that person who is evil-eyed is not worthwhile eating and enjoying. And if, when Israel went into Egypt, were they not to taste the bread of the Egyptians, they would have not been left in exile in Egypt, and they could not harm them. And he says there, because there is no evil bread in the world, but the bread of the evil-eyed. What does it say? That the Egyptians could not eat or could not feed the Hebrews bread, because it is an abomination for the Egyptians, meaning that they could not see the Hebrews eating. And here you have the evil-eyed bread. And we have to understand the prohibition of the bread of the evil eye to such an extent that were Israel not to taste the bread of the Egyptians, the people of Israel would have not stayed in exile. And that's wondering, what is the connection between the bread of the evil-eyed and exile? Why does it cause them to be in exile for such a thing, which means that it's a severe prohibition? Does it come from the mitzvot of do not do from Oraita or Rabbanan, that for that reason comes the exile? And in order to understand this at way of work, we have to remember the two things that we have before us. And this we always have to remember. The first is the purpose of creation, which is to do good to his creatures. And this reminds us that we have to reach wholeness and to merit and achieve, to receive the good and the pleasure existing in the purpose of creation. And before that, a person is considered deficient since he has not reached the purpose of creation and he is still in the midst of the work. And in the language of Kabbalah, it means that a person has to achieve the Niran Chai, which is in the root of his soul. And B is the correction of creation, since disparity of form separates. And since man was born in order to be able to receive the good and the pleasure, that he must have the desire to receive the pleasure, and that will to receive separates him from the root, because the Creator wants to bestow, and the creatures, they have a desire to receive. And this causes separation that distances the creatures from the Creator. Thus, there was made a correction, which is called restriction and concealment, where the creatures cannot feel their root, meaning who has created them, before they correct the separation. And as it says, you find how that soul, which is the light of life, that's clothed in the body, comes existence from existence, from his essence, and by passing through the four worlds of Abiya, it distances from his light up to where it comes to the special vessel for it, which is called Guf. And if also its light is diminished greatly, up to the point where you no longer can sense the origin of its root, nonetheless, by engaging in the Torah and precepts in order to bestow contentment to his maker, he purifies his kli, which is called guf, up to the point where he is ready to receive the great abundance to its full extent, which is included in the thought of creation while he has created it. And from this we can understand that our work is to come out of self-love, so that our livelihood will be that by which we provide for our body with, for it to have a life, that it can enjoy life, and for it not to be as a result of the will to receive itself enjoying, which is called evil-eyed, meaning that he does not want to bestow, but all of his yearning is to receive for itself, which is called evil-eyed, where he does not want to give something to the others, but he is immersed in self-love. And this is called evil-eyed. And thus, if the food that a person eats called bread, it is forbidden for a person to enjoy that bread, which is called the bread of the evil eye, meaning that a person enjoys the bread of the evil eye, meaning that as a result of the evil eye enjoying, that shall be the pleasure of man, meaning as a result of the will to receive, which is called evil eye, since it enjoys, and all the happiness will come from that, and all the good mood that a person receives from it, he doesn't agree to accept it, because that pleasure causes a person to be separated from holiness for a reason of disparity of form. And from here we can understand what we've asked. Why is there such a great prohibition about do not fight the bread of the evil-eyed, for the reason for which Israel remained in exile, like it says, and were Israel not to taste the bread of the Egyptians when they came down to Egypt, they would have not been left in the Egyptian exile. Since the matter of exile means that the people of Israel could not work in order to bestow to the Creator, but only to receive for themselves, and that's called the Egyptian exile, meaning that they could not come out from under their own dominion, but the will to receive for itself ruled. Thus the Zohar says that if at a time that they went down into Egypt, they would have been careful not to eat, meaning they would have not enjoyed the Egyptians enjoying themselves, meaning of the evil-eyed, which is the will to receive for oneself, they would have not fallen under their dominion in exile. Turns out that the great prohibition of the evil-eyed is that its bread is entirely in order to receive, and this causes the entire separation from holiness. And this is the prohibition of do not fight the bread of the evil-eyed, which means that our entire work in Kabbalah is in order to come out of the exile of the will to receive for oneself, meaning that we have to aim while we engage in the Torah and mitzvot for our reward to be that by that we shall merit to come out of exile and the enslavement to the will to receive for oneself, and we will be able to perform all the work, so contentment will come from it as a result from it to the Creator, and we do not demand any other reward for the work in the Torah and mitzvot, meaning that we wish to achieve, to feel while we engage in the Torah and mitzvot, meaning in the Kabbalah that we serve a great and important king, and for us to have love for the creators as a result of feeling his exaltedness. But all of our pleasure will come from that we serve the Creator, and that will be our reward. And not that he'll give us some kind of a reward for the work, but we shall feel that the reward itself is the reward, and there is no greater reward in the world than the one of meriting to serve the Creator, whereas the bread of the Egyptians at work is the very opposite. As it says that the Egyptians will not be able to feed the Hebrews bread because it is abomination for the Egyptians. Abomination comes from the word abomination, anyone who is a herd's sheep, which means that they used to despise the herders. Thus, the meaning is that the Egyptians used to despise the food of the Hebrews, because the Hebrews, all of their bread was nourishment, meaning in order to bestow. And for the Egyptians, all the bread was evil-eyed, which is to receive. And when they heard that the bread of the Hebrews is in order to bestow, bestowal is something which is despised for them, because when they have to do the work in order to bestow and not to receive anything for themselves, that work is despised for them, and they do not feel any taste in that. Thus, at a time that they used to hear that you need to work in order to bestow, they come to this feeling that they have to lower themselves, meaning that their entire opinion, which obliges them, that a person has to care for his self-benefit, and where there will come nothing for one's self-benefit, they cannot do that. Thus, the body, while it's under the dominion of the Egyptians, when it even hears a slight hint that there has to be the work of bestowal, immediately the body despises that work and claims that with its brain it will never relinquish itself to eat the bread of the Hebrews, where that bread is for them abomination, because it is the bread of against reason.
We learn that all our work is in a very thin line, that only in it can we go, otherwise one small deviation can bring us through the time to a very great distance from the goal. This line is Israel, the Torah, and the Creator are one, that the goal is the Creator, and that should always be from the beginning, from the first step on our aim. And what is called the Creator as the goal? To enjoy from that in which they give him. Like someone who they really love, as much as they exert forces in difficulty, they work to attain that pleasure, they feel more pleasure. Because the pleasure of bestowal is measured according to the exertion. In order to attain the pleasure and pass it on to the lover. Therefore, this goal is called bread, the bread of chesed, the bread of mercy, complete faith. Towards it we can measure the Egyptians in us and the Israelis in us. As much as we clarify in more precision that we want to see the Creator, His desire to reveal this His kingdom to us. Why? In order to bestow contentment upon Him, and to enjoy from that in which we bestow contentment upon Him, that we need to reach love for Him. Otherwise it's impossible to feel pleasure from bestowal to someone. Therefore, we from the beginning need to check the goal in such a way, the reason for the goal, the application of the goal, according to the kelim, according to the lights, how to realize it, even now, that I won't err in some instrument, in some obstacle, sorry. I need to aim myself, meaning in what cannon do I need to see my ammunition in there, that towards what goal, what is the ammunition in this cannon, what is the cannon itself, what is me, and what desire do I do that. And thus we come to necessity here from that, in our state, in this tool that will make a demo, a model,
a device,
that with it we can certainly make these exercises, and not just exercises, that through it we can aim ourselves and be certain that our exertion will be exertion goal-oriented, that you won't be able to see it. And this instrument is the group, that if a person thinks that at the end the final action is in the initial thought, how does he arrange his attitude towards the friends, the group, the work between them? Relates to them like to the Creator, but instead of the Creator, he takes the group, and upon it he makes all of its direction, all of his exertion, all of his vision. Thus he can be certain that yes, after this device, with this device, with this tool for seeing, he has the goal, the Creator, that surely, that in the same direction, in the same intention, the same attitude that he relates to what seems to him in his eyes, that is the group, the work in it will bring him to the Creator. Therefore we have all the opportunities, possibilities in the building of a society, a small one, a big one, the whole of humanity, to come to a state where everyone, we in the connection between us, in love thy neighbor as thyself, will come to love the Creator, your God. And here, it's really the whole place of the application of the work, of the goal. Yes.
Sasha from Moscow is asking whether to serve the Creator is to work in order to acquire the attribute of bestowal.
Yes. Well,
student from the States is asking how, during the time of fervor, what is the best way to overcome the desire to eat the evil-breaded eye at time of work?
Again.
A student from the States is asking, during the time of preparation, what's the best way to overcome the desire to eat the evil-breaded eye, the eye of the bread of the evil eye?
It's in scrutiny toward what is it happening, toward the Egyptians in me or the Israel in me. I need to scrutinize that. Whether I act in bestowal to whom, to who I love in the will to bestow, to who I hate in the will to bestow, to who I love in the will to receive, or who I hate in the will to receive, for my benefit, for his benefit, through hatred, through love, how do I relate? These are the scrutinies we need to do. And these scrutinies, we need to do what they tell us, not just me and the book. And something that's unknown to me, the Creator, however I depict him, is however I want to. In my ego, in my will to receive, I will always just picture him however I want. but I need to depict to myself the group. Therefore, there was the breaking of the soul into parts that we can in bestowing to others, be certain that in that we come to bestow all upon the Creator, to general work, proper work. Yes?
Rotem from Chulon is asking, in order to bring contentment to the Creator, we have to love Him. How do we reach loving the Creator?
From the love of others. I already said that. From the love of others to the love of the Creator. It's impossible any other way. Love is in that we acquire it, purchase it. We need to work on that. That's how Rabash also used to always say about love between people, even husband and wife. How do we see that they wed people in the religious community through all the cultures in all the times? No one asked whether they wanted to get married or not, but the parents used to marry them. But in the modern times, where there is no connection between parents and children, so that's how it's done today, where parents don't even know what's happening with their children. That's all. Why? Where is love? Where is connection? Everything. So he explained that these things, we acquire them, we purchase them through exertion. That if you know that if this person you need to come to the goal with him, so you work with him, you overcome the hatred, the repulsion, all these things, you choose him according to his goal, in the family, in the group, in the society, everything is chosen according to the group, according to the goal. The end of the act is in the initial thought. And thus, according to that, we work. And within this goal, we come to love. Because it's written, husband and wife, the affinity is between them. And otherwise, love doesn't exist. With our ego, our current ego, and also throughout the times, certainly would never exist, ever. But only this third component, the reason, the Creator, it can bring the love between them. Also between the friends, also between husband and wife. In every connection, can be only through the light, through the Creator. Therefore, love is an acquirement, it's a property. We buy it as much as we exert in it. We also see that with children. People receive some child, they adopt him, they exert in him from the time that he was born. It all depends on the exertion. Yes, the investment.
Menashe from Netanya says there's a paradox here. Whoever trains himself in order to achieve the recognition of evil, isn't it harder for him to reach the love for others?
But what recognition of evil? Where does he work? Where is he looking for the evil? In what? Toward connection with others. Only there is the recognition of evil. Everything, all other evil, is beastly. So there's a dog. You see this dog, the dangerous dog. You see these signs, beware of the dog. And there's also this cute domestic dog that's talking about, you can say this about horses, about anything. Everyone has a different character. We're not talking about evil with relation to a character of a person. We talk about how the person reveals the evil in the moment he starts connecting with others. And thus he reveals the evil in his repulsion toward the goal. If there is me, and here there needs to be others, and I need to connect to them, what for? In order to come to the goal. The goal is the Creator. And thus, in that I go according to this line, only if I am aimed in that, only if I'm aimed in that, only in the intention to the goal, we reveal the evil. And without connection to the goal, it is not called evil. It's not called evil. It's just me being an evil person. What does it mean, evil? I have an evil character. I am an aggressive person, angry, and this and that. Nothing, zero. It doesn't relate to spirituality. If I try to come to the love of friends in order to come to love of the Creator, and I reveal how much that repulses me, this measure of repulsion from it, that is called evil. Only if I am attracted to that and receive repulsion from connection. Repulsion from the connection is called evil. Only that. Therefore, bring through this filter everything the person has. Everyone are as beasts. Don't pay any attention to them. Here you have dogs, donkeys, I don't know who else you have there. Rabbits, everyone there are as beasts. So leave that alone. Don't even take that into calculation. It's not there, it's zero. Meaning, as they say, I came and there was no man. Only against the connection that brings you to the Creator, that's what's called evil. Meaning, we consider people in this world in a really incorrect way. Okay, let's continue. What?
How to calibrate that canon, that attitude?
Israel, the Torah, and the Creator are one. It's called Israel, the Torah, and the Creator. So he says here in the letter that this is the root that we yearn to. The Torah is all the means in which we come to it. Torah is the teacher, books, group, study, Israel is the point in the heart, and the Creator is the root. What?
What should be concealed? What should be revealed for me in this equation in order to solve it?
I understood. It could be that you cannot depict a group. I'll tell you. You need to depict a state, the corrected state. The corrected state where we are all connected, such that no one feels himself but feels the generality. That's called that generality and particular are equal. And in that generality dwells the force of love, the general force of love that makes everyone equal. And that force is called the Creator or nature or the force of bestowal. That's what you need to see as the final goal. That's the picture that we need to reach. And then, in order to come to that, we need the group. That the group is that same system, and we see in the group that force that is dwelling in it, but we don't feel it, we need to reveal it. The force that fulfills the group, that holds it, that scrutinizes it, that corrects it, and that is the Creator, the concealed light.
Hidden
in the system of connection between us. Like in our world, where we yearn to be adults and great, so we awaken that same force. It's the same direction in which to grow. The Creator is the same general force that connects between all parts of creation. Yes.
There are too many missing parts in this equation.
So we need again and again to try. As such, you awaken additional senses. There's no other way. Yes.
About what you said with the attributes that don't influence, there's a question. When a person is stingy or edgy or doesn't have to do anything with a connection in the group,
I said that each one who is greater than his friend, they made him greater than him. With all these things, it could be that he's worse. It doesn't relate. There are those who are born, you know, like these, that you can't do anything with them. So what, he's closer to spirituality? And then there are those who are gentle or aggressive, who... There's no connection. With animals, you have that as well. Temperaments, phlegmatic. There are 16 types, 4 times 4 of incorporation. What that relates to spirituality, they differentiate them in simple psychology. Yes.
Shachar from Bet Kabbalah Lam in Rehovot says, who needs to determine the evil eye or the Creator?
I don't know Creator or no Creator. I need to work. And I need to be the start of the work, the end of the work, and everything. And whatever reveals, I determine according to that, according to what revealed. Whether it's from me, or whether it depends on some upper force, or whether it happened from him or from me. That's on the way, on the path. I hear in these questions that they await for something to happen from above, from somewhere. Nothing's going to happen. We need to reveal in our exertion the picture that exists. Everything depends on how much we move towards that. Meaning we are like a child who grows according to the measure in which he wants to grow. But in that he needs to attain by himself the desire to grow. Depict yourself a child who wants to grow. You see, you can't hold him. He's always running to all kinds of places. In that same way, we need to be in our spiritual work. Otherwise, we won't develop. And what do you do? I need to rest. I have hours of rest. I have to think about this and that. What, the child would live like this? He doesn't have a moment of rest. At every moment, he has to achieve the whole world. Yes, Hillel.
Previously, you talked about investing. What does that mean?
investing or exerting is in that I try to bring myself closer to that picture, the complete picture that I depict to myself, which is me connected with the souls as one man in one heart in complete arvut. And that is done through the connection that the Creator makes between us, the general force of bestowal. My attraction, my inclination, my direction and yearning to that state is called investment, intention, exertion. Yes.
How is it expressed?
In that I act. Everything you have in your hands to do, do, in order to come to that picture in action. In what is it is expressed? I wrote here, teacher, books, group, study. Yes.
Meaning the time I invest in the teacher, group, books, my presence.
Everything that's in your hands to do, do. What do you have to ask? They say everything. Now you think what everything is. I gave you an example. Take a small child as an example. Okay? Ask at each moment whether you do actions, make actions like this child in order to reveal the world. Yes.
Part of the inner work I remember I did, like you mentioned about recognition, is always what I do in harmony with nature, or is it against nature? Is that the right kind of work?
If you do it in the work, if you do that in the group, in order to reveal the general force that connects between you through the study, that is called correct work. Everything else is simply not in that direction.
Okay, thank you.
Give it over there.
I want to understand. I'll take a bit of a more radical example. A husband that hits his wife and he studies in the group and he invests himself, that's okay? That's not something bad?
It's impossible to say that that doesn't influence, on the one hand, on spiritual advancement, but in a surrounding way. If he exerts in the group and advances, certainly that his attitude to the family will change, but in a direct way, it has no connection. That there, it's a connection more in a beastly way, and here, it's spiritual connection. And we have to understand that in the person who enters spiritual work, the opinion of the Torah is opposite to the opinion of the landlords. If you speak to people on the street, they say that everyone who studies Torah needs to be pure, clean, unique, gentle. And we know that whoever studies Torah properly, they reveal the big evil inclination to him, and he is made much more aggressive. It's written that they made the wise as iron, very aggressive, very stubborn. Sometimes it's expressed also in these relationships in the family. It depends. A lot on periods, on stages, that a person goes through. But for beginners, really, there are these quite complicated states. Yes.
He You said that I have to envision, depict the corrected state and aspire for it. I have to depict, and when I think about the corrected state, then the whole world is in a corrected state.
Where do you see that? I don't know.
No, you say depict. So I depict the corrected state, the world, harmony.
So that's what we need to aspire to. So
but in the meantime, my work and my attitude is measured only towards the group, towards whomever is on the outside, then...
Right.
It causes me to be snotty, kind of. It caused me to feel that, look, I have a group, I cope with it, and all the rest are beasts, the way I see them.
You need to respect them, because they also, if not now, so afterwards, everyone's coming to that. Also that, what he asked about what's happening in the family and what's happening in relationships to other people. In that everyone seemed at beast, it's not to look down upon that. In what is that to look down upon? It's all in development, that if anyone's point in the heart is not yet awoken, he's not called a man, because each person, according to his goal, needs to reach the Creator. And if that point isn't awakened yet in a person, he's called a beast, meaning that his goal is still to exert in the corporeal level in this world, still vegetative and animate types of people in this world. With the point in the heart, it's called the man in the person, and thus he is made for spirituality. We study that we need to make a connection and build this corrected system between those who have the point in the heart. For others, in the meantime, no. And they gradually come and connect to us and incorporate with us more and more. Why do I have to disrespect them? I have them with my family, I love them. There are those a bit more further away. So what? It doesn't mean anything. What, I need to disrespect them? Why does there need to be disrespect here? It's not disrespect. You disrespect a small child? You need to relate with love to everyone. I don't understand what this disrespect comes from. I yearn for spirituality and he's a beast. No, so what? And tomorrow he'll also yearn for spirituality and come to a higher degree than you. Whoever awakens later, he has a worse soul, so he comes to a higher degree. So, you know, who are you laughing at? You get old and you're going to get buried soon, and he will rise, and he'll rise to the peak. So, with the hope that it will happen like that, we will go to the next part of the lesson.
Moving to the next part of the lesson.